Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor has invited Brother Beebe to come and share with us this morning and this evening. So, Brother, come on up here. We'll turn it over to you, whatever the Lord has.
Thank you. Good morning. The Great Pumpkin Chase. Amen. I like it. Did you have to get a special permit to do that? To chase pumpkins? Or just wondering about it. I've got questions. I'm going to Romans chapter 5. It's good to be here. Hallelujah. We appreciate your pastors opening up their pulpit to me. And been up here in this region now for about a week and had some great times in different churches. And Romans chapter 5. We're going to talk about Jesus this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Been seeing some tremendous things happen when we talk about Jesus. Thank you for enthusiasm. Who else did you think we're going to talk about? Amen. In Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, who is that, Adam? Death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. That is a pretty good verse, don't you think? Isn't that a great verse? Yeah. Hallelujah. I was going to read several verses there. I thought I'd abbreviate it a little bit. And you see, let me just introduce this. I've been teaching a lot on recently on the lines of healing. And the Lord kind of, you know how He impresses you on some things? And I've been overseas, and they asked me to teach a class over there. I was there for 4 weeks. They asked me to teach a class, and which I did. And when I was over there, I had a lot of extra time to pray in that, and got this impression on the inside to go back and start teaching on healing the way I did when I was pastoring almost, 15 years ago, I guess. 15, 16 years ago. When I taught at Rhema, I didn't have a class specifically on healing, so you make references to it, don't you, when you're teaching just about anything. But, you know, he stirred me up a little bit. And instantly we started seeing some things happen. I said instantly we started to see some things happen. And what was amazing, I wasn't laying hands on people. You see, we can't take credit for healing people. You know what I'm talking about. He's either our healer or he's not your healer, but he's my healer. Amen? And I'm just going to go back and just... I don't know if you do this up here in the Northwest, but when you get potholes, you have to go back in. You know, is that what you call them out here? Okay, in Michigan, they get so big. That's why they invented Volkswagens. It's true. Somebody drives into it, they just pave it over. Saves them a lot of money. You think I'm kidding you? Look it up on Wikipedia. It's there. Anyway, everything else is there. But the... But, you know, I'm going back and just checking out the highway here. You know what I'm talking about? Go make sure that there's no little potholes in there in our believing and in our thinking where the devil can come in and say things about Jesus that aren't true. Amen? Not just for us individually. You see, the church is growing up a little bit. I said a little bit. And we're growing up. And we should be at a time right now when it's not anymore just about me, but it's about people around us. Amen? And I want to go in a certain direction there, but it just takes too long to do that. All right? For it says the fruit of the Spirit is not for me, it's for people around us. Think about it. An apple tree doesn't eat of its own fruit. Unless you got some weird apple trees, or, of course, I saw some of those movies, Lord of the Rings, and those trees could have done that. Okay? But anyway, what on earth was I talking about? Jesus. What it's telling us here is that Jesus, because of Adam's sin, Jesus came. Jesus came as the last blood sacrifice under the Abrahamic covenant. When he said it's finished, that means God satisfied that old covenant. God's promise to Abraham was done. Hallelujah. What was Abraham's greatest need? Salvation. Jehovah Jireh meant that God says, I'm going to meet all of your needs. His greatest need was salvation. When Jesus said, it's finished, that's what he's talking about. But not only did he satisfy that covenant, he brought a new one. I said he brought a new one. He brought a new one. And it's a better covenant. It's a better covenant. Because under that old covenant, if you would do this, God would do this. Under this new covenant, are you ready? Before you were ever born. Before that doctor turned you over and went, whack, if they do that anymore, maybe they can't do that. Would that be child abuse already? Our times have changed, haven't they? Sorry about that. I'll probably get reported for preaching it. But before you ever drew your first breath on this planet, every one of your needs were already supplied. Everyone. Everyone. And that's how God looks at things today. That's how we start every situation. Every situation is, wait a minute, I'm in Christ, all my needs are supplied. Amen? So you can't earn it. You can only receive it by faith. I can't wait to be here tonight. We're going to have a good time tonight. Because we're going to close the door to some really crazy doubt. I believe we can slam a door on some things. Never have to worry about certain things again. Amen? Hallelujah. That's tonight. Anyway, so Jesus here is saying that because of Adam's sin, Jesus dealt with the sin problem. Is that right? Did Jesus not deal with the sin problem? Okay, do I have everybody here pretty much on the same team here? Jesus dealt with the same. He put the axe to the root and dealt with that problem that mankind had. Is that right? Amen. What if I told you that the only reason sickness and disease was in this earth was because of Adam's sin?
Correct. Absolutely.
So if he dealt with the sin problem, he had to automatically deal with the healing situation.
Amen.
Yes. And I'm going to prove to you this morning the connection between the forgiveness of sins and healing. I'm going to show you by the scripture. You're going to get tired of it this morning. I don't even have enough time to cover all the verses. There's so many. All right. I'm going to just do my best to convince you through God's word is that God looks at certain things the same way. All right. Hallelujah. Are you ready for this? Do you see that? When Jesus dealt with sin, he had to have automatically dealt with sickness and disease. Amen. How many people are saved this morning? How many are healed? Those hands went up slower. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, go with me over to Luke chapter 5. Or left, depends on who you are. If you just go left from Romans, you'll find it. Got to read fast through here. Think we can do 20 pages of notes? I don't think so either. Luke chapter 5. All right, and it came to pass, verse 12, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt. Notice that he didn't question his ability, he questioned his willingness. All right. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, what? I will. He didn't say, you are the only lucky fellow that I will ever meet and heal. No. He said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according to Moses, as Moses commanded, for testimony unto them. But so much more went their fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And when it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and of Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Heal who? The Pharisees and the doctors of the law. Amen. Now, I'm going to stop here and just give you a kind of an overview of what I've been teaching different places. Years ago, I was asked to teach at Rhema for prayer and healing for 1 week. So 5 days, I thought, I've got to come up with five things I'm doing. So I thought of those five smooth stones that David stopped and picked up at the brook before he ever got under the shadow of the giant. And he was armed and ready. Is that right? So I thought, if I could just come up with five truths, Bible truths about healing, that any one of them would drop a giant in his tracks. Okay, would you be interested in those five? Okay, I'm going to give them to you quick because I'm only going to cover part of one today. First of all, are you ready for this? And I'll challenge you to this. You can check it out. Number one, every single person that ever came to Jesus during his earthly ministry for the purpose to be healed was healed.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. Every single one. You couldn't get into one of his prayer lines seeking to come to him to be healed. And you can't find one person, not one, that wasn't healed. That should tell us a little bit about him. Amen? So that's one point. Number two, God has great compassion towards the sick. Amen? Number three, according to the scripture record, only healing brings God glory. You don't find people glorifying God for their sickness. You see people glorifying God after they were healed. All right? Okay. Now, what else do we have? We have God never changes. I said God never changes. God never changes. Okay. He never changes. And then the one we're going to cover a little bit today is what I call the double cure. Or you could say this, the same blood that poured out of his body for our sins and for our iniquities poured out for our healing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, I could have had David burdened down with smooth stones. You know what I'm talking about? I could, because there's all kinds of things, ways that you can study the subject of healing. For instance, just check out the different avenues that God healed people. And I'm up to 13 different ways that healing can be manifested in your life. 13. Is that starting to give us a little feel for God? Amen? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what we've done in the church today. We've backslid in our thinking. Because we think it's so easy for people to get saved because they believe in their heart on the Lord Jesus and confess with their mouth that God raised him from the dead and they shall be saved. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Amen? Have I got the right church here? I know I'm taking a strong stand on healing, but you have to have strong faith to help people. You can't be one of those hope so, think so, maybe so type of people that you're going to share with one of your loved ones when they need help. You better know the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen? This is where we backslid. Usually when somebody gets sick or attacked by the enemy in some way, if something happens, what do we immediately think about? I wonder what door they opened. I wonder what sin they've committed. I wonder what kind of generational curse is upon them. Now, let me tell you something. You remember all that, all those people that came to Jesus for the purpose of healing got healed? 100% of those people were unsaved. Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. So we need to start thinking today, if we're going to reach our generation, we want to reach the generation with the gospel. And thank God we should talk about Jesus being the Savior. But I'm going to tell you something else. You can talk to people about Him being a healer too. And I could bore you with testimonies. Pretty much bore you with testimonies. Hallelujah. Amen. He died for everybody. Not just for the church. Amen. We had a man that was a Muslim, this is years ago, early 80s, Muslim who had gotten born again and was ostracized from his family, even his wife and his whole family. They stepped way back away from him because he confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior. He was born again. All right. He contacted somebody in our church and asked that person, "Does your church believe in healing?" And they said, "Yeah." He said, "Would your pastor maybe come out and pray for my daughter?" And so that person came to me and I said, "Yeah, I will go and pray for that daughter." "Yeah, fine. No problem." And she had that, she'd been bit by a tick. She had that Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And it was at the very end stages of that. Her systems had started to shut down. 12-year-old girl. And they gave her no hope. No hope. No hope. And I went to his house and he says, and he couldn't get his daughter to come out. Finally, he said something in a language I didn't know. And she came. She came out and she was dragging almost. She was just trying to get out. She was so weak. And she sat down on a couch. And he said, "Will you pray for my daughter?" I said, "I will pray for your daughter and she will live and not die." And you know what he said? He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "The same Jesus that saved you is a healer." Yes. Well, she wouldn't let me touch her. So he just reached over and just held on to her, and I just touched his shoulder. And I took authority over that thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't have to touch people. I said, "You don't have to touch people. That's one avenue. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." That's in Mark chapter 16. But did you know it doesn't even say pray there? Doesn't even say pray. Look it up. That's another testimony I could give you. But anyway. But just took authority over it. And I stayed maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes after that. I was just kind of encouraging him and just talking to him. All of a sudden, his 12-year-old daughter does a somersault on the couch. I look over and I go, she's got a big smile on her face, and she'd been instantly healed. Now, let me show you something. If you think it was because I'm anointed, you're wrong. Jesus is the anointed one. Amen? He sent His word and what? Healed them. We're just vessels, folks. Let's get our eyes off vessels. Let's get our eyes on the anointed one, Jesus Christ. And it's not based on a feeling. I've seen blind eyes open up. Never felt a thing. Never felt a thing. You don't have to feel something leave your hands. How am I doing? Am I doing all right? Anyway, we could talk about this. But let me show you that those five things that I gave you there, the leper that came to Jesus, God has a great compassion towards the sick.
Yes, He did.
Amen? Notice that the power of God was present to heal them. Okay? You'll notice that they glorified God after this man was healed that was brought in and let down through the roof. How many know this story real well? They let him down through the what? The roof? The tiling? All right. Let's just read that. "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling. How many have had friends that have let you down? Through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. The reason I said that is that I've had friends before that might make a hole, but it wouldn't be big enough to put the whole couch in. They'd tie a rope on one end of me and dangle. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy what? Man, thy what? Did you ever see this in here? Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, what is this? Who is this that speaketh blasphemies? Who could forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Isn't it? Now, I want to draw attention to this. Jesus said, what's easier? What's easier? To say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? I want to show you something. I believe in God's mind. In God's mind, the same sacrifice dealt with both situations. Now, for hundreds of years now, the church at different times preached on the double cure. Matter of fact, out in this region of the country, there used to be healing ministers that preached the double cure. Hallelujah. Church, we've got to get that truth back again. You say, why? I don't need healing. There's a lot of people that need God's touch today. Amen. Hallelujah. I was teaching a class back in Michigan. This is with a Pentecostal holiness denomination. They asked me to come in and teach classes, help them get a Bible school going, because they wanted the same teaching that we had gotten at Rhema. They wanted the same teaching of the Word. They said they'd had the move of the Spirit for years, but they don't have the teaching. And I said I'd help them get started. And I'm still doing a little bit, at least up till through this fall anyway. And so I was teaching on Christ the Healer. And there's a lady in one of the small classes, don't get me wrong. I mean, this was not huge classes. But there's two ladies in this class that didn't know while they were taking the class they were going to need what was being taught. The one lady had a heart attack on a weekend. And when they checked out her heart, she had blockages everywhere. They had to do some stuff like on Monday or Tuesday. And very serious things, all right, that they had to do for her. She was in a rough situation. But after they, you know, found out what was wrong with her, she made a stand in her own hospital room. I didn't even know about it until she came back to class the following week. And she says, no. She says, this is not going to kill me. I know what the Word now says about healing. I claim healing in the name of Jesus. So by the time she showed me the x-rays of her heart before and after, like 3 days or 4 days like this. And the first one, you could see all those white blockages. All right, in her heart. And over here, there's not a one. So by the time they checked her out again, they said, ma'am, it looks like you've got a young person's heart right now. Now, I didn't pray for her, but the Word of God affected her. Amen?
Yep.
Hallelujah. Another lady was there, didn't know that her husband was going to have a heart attack. And she and her two daughters had taken the class. And so when that happened, the whole like top half of his heart was... It was a pretty major heart attack. And they had some specialist come in to try to help him out. They're going to do several things with him. But they figured he'd be all right. But he's going to have troubles from then on. And so they went in and said, the wife says, we got to go in there and lay hands on Dad. We've learned in class that Jesus is our healer. And we're just going to claim what he's already done. They went in there and said, Dad, we're laying hands on you in Jesus' name. He's in his 70. He's about 70. And so anyway, that was one day. And then finally when the specialist got there, and anyway, new heart. Well, Brother BB, you're so anointed. No, I didn't pray for either one of them. I didn't lay hands on a single one. I don't have to. You don't have to. Are you listening to me? It's the truth of God's Word needs to get out in this generation. First person I ever prayed for when I was out of Raymond, 1977. First person. They wouldn't even let me go in and lay hands on them. No, no, we have our own pastor. I said, well, you know, his friend asked me to come. We already have a pastor. We're Methodist. I said, well, I'm Methodist too. I was. And so I said, well, listen, I'm going to go. I just want to let you know we are praying and believing God for a full recovery. And, you know, I was raised Methodist too. And you know what I've really found over the years? God really loves people.
Yes.
He loves your son.
Yes.
And this was, he was 21. It's the second time cancer had hit his body. First time they dealt with the surgery when he was a teenager. This was a different cancer that came back. And I said, no, it's God. God wants your son to live a long life. And they go, all right, thank you. You know, that type of thing. So by the time they did the exploratory surgery and find out exactly what they had to do, they couldn't find any cancer in him, even though they had found it before. Hello? Before and after. Before and after. We've got an after God. Are you listening to me? Say, Brother BB, you're anointed. No, 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 no. We just speak the Word of God. We just get the Word of God out there. Amen? We got to change our thinking. If we start thinking, I wonder what sins they committed, then already we are almost defeated in that situation. I wonder where they opened up the door. Hello? To me, that's a sign of an unrenewed mind. Now I got quiet. Sorry. I was doing better. Jesus said, whether it's easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or to take up thy bed and walk. In his thinking, it's the same thing. All right, I'm going to hit you with a bunch of scripture now. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. What does all mean?
All.
Are you sure all means all?
All.
What does all mean?
All.
By the way, that's an old covenant. We got a better covenant. Yeah, but they didn't know about all these new diseases and stuff. I mean, you know, those are listed. But no, 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 no. All means
all.
All means all. It says, and forget not his benefits, and the church forgot half of it. Now, the same blood. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded. Everyone say wounded. For our transgressions, he was bruised. Say bruised. For our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And what? And with his stripes, we are healed. Why does it talk about the forgiveness of sins and healing in the same time? Because that's how God sees it. When he dealt with the root cause, when the root died, the fruit's going to die.
Amen.
Amen. How many know 1 Peter 2:24 real well? You know it real well? How does it start out? Who? His own self. Who in his own self what? Bore our what? I thought that was a healing verse. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should what? Live unto righteousness. And then it says, by whose stripes ye were healed. In other words, when the sin problem was dealt with, healing became ours. Tonight I'm going to prove that to you beyond a shadow of a doubt. I look at it a whole entirely different way. Would you be interested in that? Hallelujah. My golly. How many have ever heard of the Passover lamb? Exodus chapter 12. Don't go there, please. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to tell you a little bit about it. We have these little pictures in our mind. Maybe we saw a movie. Yeah. Just because we saw certain things in a so-called Christian movie or what they represent from the Bible doesn't necessarily mean that that movie is accurate. Hello? The Passover lamb was killed. They were told, kill this Passover lamb. Is that right? Whenever you see blood shed in the Old Testament, and actually in the New, referring to it, it's talking about dealing with sins. Amen? Dealing with sins. And God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. They were to put the blood on the top of the windows and the doors, top here and then on both sides, forming a cross. Blood. All right? When I see the blood, I will what?
Pass over you.
Okay? It's estimated between 2 and 3 million Israelites came out of Egypt. 2 to 3 million. That's not a gigantic number anymore, but it's a number, isn't it? Anybody here in the health business, health industry at all? Okay. What percentage do you think of 2 to 3 million that there had to be somebody sick among them? Today, what is the percentage of just the general population dealing with something? It's a huge percentage, is that not right? How much?
99.
She's saying 99.9. I don't know if it's that high, but I mean, you would think at least half of them, you know what I'm talking about? They're coming out of Egypt, you know, a couple of them are, you know, football injuries, you know. You know what I'm talking about. Slipped and fell on the ice, you know. You know, some sort of hockey, and there's got to be something. He brought them forth with silver and gold, and there was not one. Not one feeble person. That's a new word. Write it down. That'll be on Wikipedia by tonight. There's not one feeble person among them. Oh, Brother B, there's probably a stretcher case. There's got to be some. Not one. He brought him forth with silver and gold, and there's not one feeble person. What had happened? They celebrated the Passover with the shedding of blood, and they were all healed. We got a better covenant. I said, we got a better covenant. But everybody's got to have a little something. Well, you got to look at the overall plan and purpose of God. Amen? I mean, I've suffered a few things. Have you suffered a few things? Yeah, I had to come home from Australia a few years ago because I slipped out coming off a plane and jammed my knee and discovered that there was something wrong inside my knee. Here I am, God's man of faith and power, coming back from Australia in a wheelchair. I don't like it one bit. But I never ceased being healed. They said, well, you have to have surgeries in both knees. You have to have knees replaced. You have to have this and this. See, I shouldn't have played hockey and things into my 50s is what I shouldn't have done. Do you understand that? Played football. I don't know what was wrong with me. But I'll tell you what, I'd do it again in a second. Okay? But they said, no, you can't get around. Well, listen, there's a bigger plan and purpose for us enjoying our healing. How are we going to take this around the world if we can't get up and face the day? There's a bigger purpose and plan. Amen? Besides that, it's already done. It's God's plan and purpose. I said it's God's plan and purpose, not yours or mine. If it was our idea, we'd have committee after committee after committee, and that deer would turn into a giraffe. You know what I'm talking about? Hello? Because we would measure out who deserved to be healed. I'll talk about that tonight. Catching this yet? Let me jump ahead. Let me show you something else about the Passover. I just threw it in here. In 2 Chronicles chapter 30, you have King Hezekiah. And he discovered that they had not celebrated the Passover in some time. And he sent for the priest and he said, sanctify yourselves because on a certain day we are going to celebrate the Lord's Passover. And they didn't get it done in time. There's too many people. sacrifices, blood offerings, sacrifices had to be set aside. And anyway, it says in verse 18, this is 2 Chronicles 30, it says, "For a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it is written." Oh boy. But Hezekiah prayed. Everyone say prayed. Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, "The good Lord pardon everyone." Verse 20. "And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people." Tells me something about God's mercy. What do you think? Yeah, but they didn't get it all carried out. They didn't get it all done. They weren't exactly where they... But Hezekiah prayed, Lord, just pardon. Just give us a break here. We didn't get it done. And God listened, and what did He do? Heal him. See, the Passover is all about shedding of blood for sins. And what was the result? God healed everybody. Did I mention that we've got a better covenant? I just wondered if I did or not. Are you getting tired of this yet? I'm only going to go a few more minutes. All right. Matthew 8:16, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Numbers 21, I'm showing you just types and shadows all through the Scripture. When Israel sinned, there were fiery serpents. I don't know about you, I just don't really care for serpents. We lived in Oklahoma for a number of years. I killed personally 5 poisonous snakes in our yard. A lot of other ones. And I won't tell you how I did them. One was a lawnmower. Not my fault. There's only one thing between that snake that was curled up and went like this, between me and it was a lawnmower. And anyway, I don't like... As a matter of fact, I'd have to go out and check our pool. And I'd check it at night, you know, after everyone's done in this pool. I'd go out there, and you know, my mind is thinking, gee, when do snakes kind of get around a bit? You know, I start thinking about snakes, and we had this dog. Almost every time I had a thought of a snake, that dog was hooked up with me somehow. And it'd come out of nowhere. I wouldn't even see it. And it'd come in behind me and just brush its nose across the back of my leg. Does everybody have a dog like that? Just letting you know it's there. Just letting you know it's there. I'm not known for my leaping nor my dancing ability. I actually hurt myself a couple times. Because that dog would go like this, and I'd be dancing or hopping around as if I was snake bit. And then I could hear that dog chuckle. It was a chuckle hound. But this talks about fiery serpents. I'm not into fiery serpents at all. Why were they into fiery serpents? They were up to their guppers in fiery serpents. Whatever that means. It's a sailor's term. You can look it up. Wikipedia. Okay? You can check it out. But Moses prayed for them that God would have mercy on them because they'd sinned. And he says, "Put a brass serpent on a pole. And whoever be, if they're bit, if they look at the brass serpent, they'll live." Yep. Another connection between the forgiveness of sins and healing. And over in Galatians chapter 3, it talks about, you know, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." We always think that that is just a type of a cross, but it's also a type of standard that you see in the Old Testament. When you behold Jesus. Amen? Same way with communion today. I don't have time to teach on this too much, but communion is a celebration that we're in a blood covenant with God. It says, not rightly discerning the Lord's body. I think this is what we're doing this morning. We're discerning the Lord's body. Amen? Not rightly discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Amen? It says that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. Everyone say unworthily. Drinketh unworthily. Where's my English teachers? Do we have any? Eateth unworthily. Drinketh unworthily. Unworthily is a... Gotcha. It's an adverb, right? It's all right. I was a C student in high school. I'm telling you, it is. Or should be. But if it's an adverb, it's talking about an attitude rather than a specific condition. He that eateth and drinketh with an unworthy attitude, not discerning the Lord's body. It's an attitude that you deal with in communion. Well, that went over big. Are you thinking? Okay. Am I touching on too many things today? Oh, my. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to close this one thing. Oh, well, actually, in James chapter 5, you know when it says, is any sick among you? Remember that? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. What's the last phrase in it? If he's committed any sins, they shall be forgiven. The connection between healing and forgiveness. That's why I like to tell people, when I'm talking to some people one-on-one, where they've struggled receiving healing, I sometimes will ask about, have they really forgiven people that have hurt them? Because unforgiveness can be a great hindrance to healing. Amen? And you might be sitting there, yeah, well, you don't know what they did. Well, I'm standing here saying to you, but then you don't know what Jesus did. It's not worth hanging on to unforgiveness. Okay? Actually, it's evil. But I can't teach you on that. It takes too long. Unforgiveness is evil. You're basically saying that if you were God, you'd rather they go to hell before you're going to forgive them. That's Matthew chapter 18. Okay? All right. How many remember the redemptive names of God? Jehovah Jireh. Who wants to be Jehovah Jireh? Come on. Let's get started. I'm going to need 7 people up here, so you might as well start. How about Jehovah Shammah? The Lord is there. That means the Lord is ever present. Who wants to be that? Come on. Nobody has ever... Come on. I like this. All right. You're coming too? So you're going to be Jehovah Shalom. Now you have to remember this. All right. Jehovah Shalom. That means the Lord, our peace. You're Jehovah Shammah. It's not Shamu, the whale. It's Shammah. The Lord is ever present. You are Jehovah Rea, which means the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, I'll help you with these if you don't remember them. But you will be tested. Now, who are you?
Jireh.
Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord our provider. Who wants to be Jehovah Nisi? That's not a car. Sister, come on. You're going to be, this is a tough one, Jehovah Tzidkenu. Got it? That means the Lord our righteousness, all right? So you just remember, okay. Where's Jehovah Nisi? There you go. Bless your heart. Amen. It's not a car. Do we have a Jehovah Rapha yet? Jehovah Rapha. Come on, real quick. Thank you. Jehovah Rapha. Oh, wait a minute. I got 2 Jehovah Raphas. All right, come on, sister. It's hard to know who I'm waving at. So, oh, by the way, we're talking about Jehovah Rapha means the Lord our physician or our healer. All right, Jehovah. Sometimes we just read over that and we don't pay attention to it. His name Jehovah, that means the ever-existing one who always exists as. Or you could say the self-existing one. So you're not going to get him to change. Now these were redemptive names under the Old Covenant where God revealed a name to them to show them part of his character. Once they learned his character, they learned his will. Okay? So how are we doing here? You are Jehovah Tsidkenu, which is the Lord our righteousness. All right? Everyone say righteousness. You are Jehovah... Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Yeah. Shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word where we get the word Solomon. And Jerusalem, which is the habitation of peace, that all comes from Shalom. So he's the ever-existing one who always exists as our what?
Peace.
Jehovah Jireh.
Our provider.
Yeah, our provider. Jehovah. You got it. Which means what? The Lord is here. He's here. All right. Aren't you glad he's here?
Man.
I come to church because God's here. No, you brought him in. Anybody want to see a move of the Spirit? We're waiting for still to fall out of heaven. And John 7 says, out of our bellies shall flow rivers of water. And we're waiting for a sprinkle. Rivers. Comes out of us. Rivers of life. Sister, who are you?
Rhea.
Rhea, which means what?
God is my shepherd.
Yep, he's shepherd. And then?
Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner.
Lord our banner. That's what we're teaching on today. Jehovah Rapha. Yeah, the ever-existing one who always existed, our healer. These are pretty good revelations. Can I ask you a question today? Even under this new covenant? Which one of these would you like to take out? Is there anyone? Is there anyone that wants to take any of these away today?
No, we need them all.
Yeah. Is there anybody that would just say, no, we don't need God in this area? Is there anybody? I mean, he's our shepherd. He's our peace. He's always there. He's our provider. He's our righteousness. Amen. How am I doing? Who has the right to remove one of these today? And that's what so-called modern theology has done. Well, he healed back then, but he doesn't today. Oh, really? To say that God has somehow altered and no longer heals today? God was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion and healed their sick. To say that he no longer heals today, are you ready? You're saying that somehow God's greatest attribute, the greatest attribute of deity, his love, has been altered. We've got a word for that. We need to stop speaking evil of God.
Amen.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. Well, I've gone enough this morning. I've got plenty to continue. But what I'm going to do is we're going to pray this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. I said we're going to pray.
Amen.
We're going to pray. We're going to say some things. We're going to speak. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, when Jesus taught, the power of God was present to heal them. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got a new covenant today. God has already made his healing available. All you need to do is receive it by faith. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of it today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads. I want to make sure everyone's received Jesus today. Is there anyone here today that has never experienced what we call the new birth, being born again, what we refer to as salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was raised from the dead for our justification. He's Lord over all. Amen? When you receive Him as your Lord and Savior, something takes place on the inside, a miracle, the greatest miracle. Hallelujah. When that takes place, you know it. I said you know it.
Yes.
Amen? But if we have somebody here that's never experienced that miracle on the inside, and if you want a brand new start in life, brand new start, here it is for you. If you want to be prayed for to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, put your hand up right now. Put your hand up right now. Is there anyone that wants to receive the Lord? Hallelujah. Anyone at all? Are we all right? Hallelujah. Amen. Now, how many are born again this morning?
Amen.
I can't talk you out of that one, can I? How come I can't talk you out of that one? Because it's true. Now, your faith works for salvation, is that right? The greatest miracle? Then healing would be a secondary thing because it's just natural. Amen. If you have sickness or disease in your body, you've got pain, whatever, things there that you don't want, put your hand up right now. We're going to take authority over it in Jesus' name. Amen? Hallelujah. Based on the authority of God's Word, based on the scriptural evidence that we've got today, based on your faith in God's Word, hallelujah, we declare you healed now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you're healed. Amen. That's just in God's mind. If you're saved, you're healed. Just receive it. Just like you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believe it in your heart. You confess it with your mouth. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Amen.
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 Now, by faith, act like it's so. Hallelujah. What do? We start to thank God it's done. Hallelujah. We thank God that it's done. We thank God that it's done. It's done. Everyone say it's done.
It's done.
It's done. Why? Because it was done 2,000 years ago and you just agreed with it. Brother, what's my evidence? Your faith is your evidence. I've got two children because of what we found out in the Scripture. My wife's not supposed to be able to have kids. We found that out later after we're holding our baby boy. To two separate miracles in her body. But for years, we stood on God's Word. Amen. We didn't even know what we were facing. We didn't know what we were facing. But we saw Jesus. Amen. So that power is working in your body. Amen. To effect a healing and a cure. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll see you tonight.
All right, let's stand. We start at 6:30 tonight. Father, I thank you again for what you've already done here today, the healings that's already gone forth. They'll manifest, Lord, in Jesus' name. Now pray for these people. They'll be kept safe. And they enjoy this day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.